Imagine a world where your thoughts could physically reshape your brain, where mental training could enhance your memory, emotional resilience, and even capacity for compassion. For decades, neuroscience insisted our brains were essentially fixed after childhood, with neural pathways set like dried concrete. But a revolutionary scientific concept, neuroplasticity, has shattered this dogma, proving our brains remain malleable throughout our lives. This discovery emerged partly through extraordinary dialogues between the Dalai Lama and Western scientists, bridging ancient Buddhist wisdom with cutting-edge neuroscience. The Dalai Lama's provocative question, "Can the mind change the brain?" challenged the conventional view that the brain solely shapes the mind. His interest wasn't merely philosophical. Since childhood, he had displayed remarkable curiosity about mechanical objects, famously dismantling and reassembling timepieces. This evolved into a profound engagement with scientific inquiry, recognizing science as a coherent way of questioning and understanding the world that paralleled Buddhism's spirit of open investigation. What makes these East-West dialogues particularly groundbreaking is their focus on neuroplasticity. Buddhist meditation practitioners have essentially been exploring brain plasticity for millennia, offering scientists natural demonstrations of the mind's capacity to transform itself. New data increasingly suggests a two-way relationship where systematic mental activity can structurally change the brain, a watershed moment where ancient wisdom and modern science become mutually enriching, with tremendous potential for enhancing human well-being. In 1913, neuroscientist Santiago Ramón y Cajal declared adult brains fixed and immutable, suggesting rehabilitation for stroke victims was futile and psychiatric disorders untreatable. Michael Mrzenich challenged this in 1971. His experiments showed that after cutting a monkey's medial nerve, the affected brain region adapted to process signals from other hand areas. Trained monkeys developed fourfold increases in related cortical areas. The Silver Spring monkey studies provided stronger evidence, revealing how a de-affected monkey's face region completely took over the arm's sensory area. Mrigonka Sir's ferret experiments showed even more dramatic plasticity by redirecting optic nerves to the auditory cortex, creating animals that heard light flashes and proving neural regions could be repurposed based on input. For decades, scientists rejected the idea that adult brains could produce new neurons, despite 1960s animal studies suggesting otherwise. This belief persisted until 1997, when Fred "Rusty" Gage demonstrated that mice in enriched environments showed a 15% increase in hippocampal neurogenesis. Even elderly mice produced three times more brain cells in stimulating environments versus barren cages. Human neurogenesis was later confirmed through cancer patients who had received BRDU injections that tag new cells. Post-mortem examinations revealed that human brains produce 500 to 1,000 new neurons daily into their eighth decade. These neurons integrate into existing circuits and appear crucial for recognizing novelty and maintaining mental health. Their reduction is notably linked to depression, where patients often describe their world as unchanging and show hippocampal shrinkage. When the brain develops without certain sensory inputs, unused regions adapt remarkably. Helen Neville's research with deaf individuals showed their auditory cortex becomes repurposed for visual processing, particularly enhancing peripheral vision and motion detection. Her measurements revealed deaf people's brains respond up to three times more strongly to peripheral visual stimuli compared to hearing individuals, both in visual areas and the auditory cortex. This adaptability extends to blind individuals. Their visual cortex activates when reading Braille, processing tactile information. When researchers temporarily disabled the visual cortex in blind Braille readers, the dots became flatter and harder to interpret. Amir Ahmedi's 2003 research revealed even more striking adaptations. The visual cortex in blind individuals develops language processing abilities, activating during verbal memory and word generation tasks. As one researcher noted, this transformation was like finding a granite worker leaving the quarry and sculpting pietas instead, demonstrating the brain's remarkable capacity to repurpose neural regions for new functions. During a brain surgery observation, the Dalai Lama questioned whether thoughts alone could change the brain's physical structure. While the surgeon dismissed this, claiming only physical states affect mental states, the Dalai Lama called this a metaphysical assumption, not a scientific fact. Jeffrey Schwartz at UCLA proved mental signals could reshape the brain through his work with OCD patients. Using mindfulness meditation, patients learned to view obsessive thoughts as faulty brain circuitry. After 10 weeks, 12 of 18 participants improved significantly, with PET scans showing decreased activity in their worry circuit. Pasquale Leone's piano experiment provided additional proof. One group physically practiced piano exercises, while another only imagined playing. Both groups showed identical expansion in motor cortex regions controlling finger movements. The key mechanism was attention. Mrzenich's monkey experiments showed physical stimulation only changed the brain when animals actively paid attention. Monkeys focusing on finger taps showed cortical expansion in finger areas, while those ignoring identical stimulation showed no changes, demonstrating attention's role in reshaping neural architecture. In 2001, neuroscientist Richard Davidson studied brain patterns of long-term meditators, challenging the notion that emotional states like happiness were fixed traits rather than trainable skills. Davidson discovered that prefrontal cortex activation reflects emotional disposition. Left side activity indicates positive emotions, right side negative ones. This affective style typically remains stable throughout adulthood. When Buddhist monk Matthew Ricard meditated while connected to EEG, his brain produced extraordinary gamma waves linked to consciousness and neural integration that persisted between sessions. fMRI scans revealed both novice and experienced meditators activated positive emotion regions during compassion meditation. The monks showed stronger activation in empathy networks and movement planning regions, as if ready to help others in distress. Davidson's research confirmed Buddhist wisdom that mental training can restructure the brain, strengthening prefrontal amygdala connections and shifting activity toward positive emotional centers. As Ricard observed, mental training gradually changes the baseline, becoming a better human being for yourself and others. We've accepted negative emotions as inevitable parts of life. But what if this baseline isn't fixed? What if we could reshape our neural architecture to experience more joy, focus, and compassion? Neuroplasticity is the brain's constant state of adaptation to sensory signals, thoughts, and movements. This malleability works both ways. Poor input can create deficits, while targeted training can enhance cognitive function. Mike Mrzenich's research shows how computer-based auditory training improves speech processing and memory in elderly participants. His findings suggest targeted training could reduce neurocognitive age by 25 years, indicating significant mental decline may be preventable. Traditional medicine has focused on moving from illness to neutral states, overlooking exceptional positive capabilities. While depression dominates research, studies on joy remain sparse. Yet research on Buddhist meditators suggests we can aim beyond merely avoiding suffering. Self-directed neuroplasticity, our ability to change brain circuits through conscious thought, challenges the notion that genes and neurotransmitters alone control behavior. Through focused mental training, we can cultivate not just healthier brains, but more compassionate, joyful lives.